We'll continue in the study of the Word today. We're looking at Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless." Amen. So we're continuing in the 18th session of the book of Genesis. So over the period of 4,000 years of the Old Testament, the book of Genesis covers 2,300 years approximately. So we're going to look at Abraham in chapter 17 of Genesis today. And the title of the sermon is, "He Who Follows the Will of God, Abraham." So last Sunday, we saw how Abraham and Sarah had been promised a son. But after receiving this promise, they were not able to conceive, so with every intention of doing God's will, they used the handmaid Hagar to give birth to Abraham's son, Ishmael. But because this was not the way or method that God had intended, and so if we look back on the history, we can see that their actions had extremely serious consequences. They didn't use God's method. They used their zeal and enthusiasm rather than God's way. And so we can see that often they lead to the wrong consequences. So what is more important than our passion or zeal is knowing what the right direction is that God wants us to go in. And if we go in the right direction, it's also important for us to use the right method in order to achieve God's will. Very dangerous to think it doesn't matter what the outcome is, as long as the purpose is good. If the method is worldly, and if it comes from man alone and not from God, that is so common nowadays. That even happens within the church. So we need to remember this. So the right purpose is important, and the right method is also important as well. But what is very clear is what has happened has happened. They thought they were doing their best and that they had a son. So the water has been spilled, and that happens in our lives as well. After we have made a choice, there are times when we cannot really deal with the consequences. So before we make a decision, when we should think seriously about what we should do, and we need to exercise wise discernment when it comes to our choices. And so after we've made a choice and we've acted, then we have to accept the reality of the consequences, and we have to take on the load of what the consequence of that is. It's not easy. There are times where we make a mistake, and we make it difficult for the people around us as well, not just for ourselves. But what we can give thanks for, just like Abraham, who believed in God, who believed in God but didn't know His will, when he was trying to do something out of his own effort, we can see that historically it led to grave consequences. But despite this, through this opportunity, he didn't just strike Abraham out, but what he does is he teaches Abraham the right way, and despite having the load that he has to carry, he still guides Abraham on the path of faith. And so through, even though what happens complicates things, they still do not lose their faith. And so because of this mistake, God doesn't reject Abraham, but he continues to dream his dreams through Abraham, because Abraham did not lose his faith. And God guides Abraham to come out in a stronger relationship with him. And that's what we can see in chapter 17. So after the birth of the child named Ishmael, we see that God did not appear to Abraham for about 13 years. So the record that the first record that says that God met with Abraham was in Genesis 12 in Haran, when Abraham was 75 years of age. And then the next meeting was in Genesis 13 in the places of Bethel and and I, when Abraham and Lot's servants were fighting with each other, and when they separated, God then met Abraham again, and he was around the age of 80 years of age. And then when he was in Hebron in chapter 15, the next time God went to him was when, was it when Abraham went to rescue Lot? Abraham was around 84 or 85 years of age at the time. And so Abraham was victorious in the war, but a lot of people were in fear of Abraham as a result. And then the fourth time is in chapter 17. So we can see that the space of time between his meeting with Abraham in chapter 17 and the previous time that God meets Abraham, there is a period of about 13 years. So, but with all the communication with God, they happened at about the intervals of about 5 years. But after chapter 16, after the birth of Ishmael, when Abraham was 99, God appears to him in chapter 17, and that's after an absence of 13 years. And so people, in relation to this 13 years of silence, the interpretation that people have is that because Abraham doubted God and because he disobeyed God, God was disappointed with him, and so he didn't speak to him for 13 years. But we are now looking at what faith is and meditating on how God works in our lives. We can see that God is pleased with Abraham's faith, and God doesn't even accuse Abraham, even though he makes many mistakes in his life, like lying and saying Sarah is his sister, and Ishmael as well. But people are saying that because of Ishmael, God was angry, that he was silent on purpose. If it was Abraham's fault and God was angry for 13 years, then why did God speak to Abraham every 5 years? Is he an angry bird? Was he just continually angry and then decided to, be okay and then speak to him? When it comes to you and me, when our children have made a mistake or have done something wrong or in crisis, we act immediately. Our thoughts and our concerns are more with our children during that time. We take that opportunity to be interested in our children. We use that opportunity to coach and teach and guide our children. We don't go 5 to 13 years without talking to our children. In the same way, God is not someone who neglects us, but we are the apple of his eye. He looks upon us and he is with us all the time. So in relation to this 13-year period of silence, it was not a time where Abraham was trying to punish God because of his mistakes. That's a misinterpretation. Abraham is the model of our faith. Through him, we learn what faith is. And through him, we learn what it means to lead a life of faith. And we see how God works in people's lives through Abraham. With this perspective in mind, we are looking at the whole portrait of Genesis from beginning to end. We see in the book of Genesis a story of people who had faith. We see how God works. And through them, we can truly understand what faith is. God is introducing to us what true faith is through Abraham. Abraham was not a special person who received special treatment. No. Abraham was a human being no different to us in any single way. He is not different to us in any way whatsoever. He was just like you and me living on this earth. He lived in similar situations and environment as ours. He walked the path of faith. Have you seen the show? It's called Human Theatre. It shows us how ordinary people have extraordinary things happen in their lives. And this is similar to Abraham. Without any editing, the Bible is showing us like a show on TV, what it's like, what it's like for a person just like us to be living a life of faith. Abraham was not a special person. We can see through Abraham, or we can be like Abraham too. Oh, that's how we can see through Abraham. Oh, that's how God lives with people. That's how he has a relationship with people. So after, for this 13 years, the Bible says nothing about it. We don't know the exact reason, but when we look at the history of the Bible, when we look at the historical context and the way in which God works, then it's not right that God was not angry. He wasn't disappointed at Abraham. I think a more moderate interpretation is that God wanted to see whether Abraham would continue in his faith for that 13-year period, whether he would continue to live in accordance with the values and the word of God. So the God we see through Abraham is not the kind of God we see like the genie in the lamp. God is not a God who appears whenever the lamp is rubbed at the whim of the wishes of the owner of the lamp. God does not work in this way. Instead, he calls his people to be his children, and when the person who is called listens to God and responds in faith to God, if that person dreams with God, then whatever the circumstances and the environment may be, then God dreams with that person. God gives us the free will to choose whether we live in accordance with the word of God and accordance with his values in the word of God. He doesn't plan our lives. He doesn't program our lives. He allows us a choice to go to him. He allows us to believe, to choose to believe whether he is the God and the Father of creation. So when Abraham and Sarah when Ishmael was born in this human way and not in God's way, it shows us that even though this was the wrong choice, the wrong thing to do, God doesn't say anything about it. Even if the decision is wrong, Abraham realizes it's wrong of his own volition. And then the choice is up to Abraham whether he walks by faith and not by the ways of man, whether he chooses the path of God and not man's ways, and whether he chooses to live in accordance with the promises of God. God supports Abraham not to leave the path of faith. Abraham is just like us. And so his faith was weakened at times. We also believe in God, but we also fall over and we do that. And Abraham did that too. And to Abraham and for us as well, people in the world seem to be doing better than us. People who lie and cheat look like they're just prospering and doing so much better than us. Abraham would have felt that way too. Why, when we believe in God, is it so difficult? Abraham would have had the same concerns and doubts in his faith as we feel as well. So in the case of chapter 15, God had promised that he would make Abraham's descendants prosper, and he knew God's will, and he believed in God's word, and he did his best to conceive a child. They really tried to obey God in this regard. So because they couldn't conceive, they then decided to use Hagar, and this led them in the wrong direction. So they thought what they were doing was good, and they tried to accomplish God's will by their own efforts. But in relation to the outcome, Ishmael was born outside of God's will. And in terms of the consequences, because it was not God's will or method, from the time of pregnancy, they began to experience a lot of hardships. Ultimately, they did have this child. But instead of being happy and satisfied with this result, I think that they would have had, they would have felt uneasy on many occasions. I think they would have felt that what they did was wrong. They had this child, but as a result, the relationships were destroyed and broken because of the, and also Hagar ran away. And so then she came back into the house. Then what do you think, how do you think they were after she came back in the house? It would have been extremely difficult and there would have been a lot of tension in the house. And Ishmael would have been born in a situation where he couldn't freely call Abraham his father. Abraham didn't doubt God's existence, but he had many questions to ask of God. He believed in God, but he also had these questions about God. Why couldn't God just miraculously use his power to change the situation that he was in? They were doing so much to try and obey God. Why wasn't God working as he promised he would? How happy and satisfied we would be if God moved and worked in ways in accordance with our expectations and thoughts. At the time of Abraham's time, in the surrounding countries of Canaan, they all believed in idol gods who did whatever they wanted. These gods, Abraham would have compared his God with the idol gods in the surrounding nations. In order to worship the idol gods, and in order to bring rain from heaven, they believed that people in Canaan believed that the gods needed to be sexually stimulated so as to bring rain. So as part of their worship, they had sexual relations with one another in their temples to create and bring on rain. They thought that they needed to have a sexual relations with each other to excite their gods. And in doing so, they fully satisfied their lust and their desires as well. Those religions seemed good to be good on the outside. Everyone was happy in doing what they were doing and the idol gods were apparently satisfied. These religions surrounded Abraham, but what was his God doing? I think Abraham would have felt that way. Abraham would have compared those idols with his God. And he would have had an expectation of God working in a certain way. And you and I have that expectation too. God did not, even if when Abraham prayed to God, God didn't instantly appear before him like a genie in a lamp. And he didn't answer Abraham about this and that as Abraham wanted. I don't know why that is the case, but through Abraham's story, we can see that that's the way that God works in our lives. So God seems to be silent for a long time, and Abraham's expectation increases about God. And he has these thoughts and these doubts about God. He would be thinking, who is God? Just like you and me. And I think he would have come to the conclusion that God is a God who does what he wants, what Abraham wants. But when we look at the 13 year of silence, and when we try and interpret things, not based on anything else, but thinking of the way in which God works in the Bible as a whole, and in the case of Abraham, who was the model of faith, I said he's not someone special, he's no different from us. He was an ordinary person living in a situation and environment that wasn't different from ours. So God is, he works in the same way as in any generation. He works through people in the same way that he worked through Abraham. He works in us as well. If the people in the Bible were totally different to us, then what relevance does the Bible have for us? What use is the Bible to us? So when God introduces us to this faith, he's showing us through Abraham how he works. And as I said before, we are in the same situation as people who lived in that different time. Based on this premise, the 13 years of silence between chapter 16 and 17, that is the same reality in which we face today. God just didn't respond to God to Abraham in the way he expected. And there are people, and so you and I have the same questions. We have our doubts and we have our questions about God. But if this period of silence continues, then we get confused and we start to think, did I really meet God? Is this? And so then we basically change the image of God into the God we want. So even in the church, people worship and call on the name of God. They call on the name of Jesus. We call on the name of the Holy Spirit. The name we call on is the same, but it is not the God who's revealed in the Bible that we're calling on. We make God who we want him to be. And if there is no true meeting with God, if there's no refreshment or like restoration of our faith in God, then we will continue just to idol worship God. This is what happens when we do not believe in God. This happens in our church so many times. It's so common. We all go to church together. We read the same Bible. But everyone has a different view of God. We are talking about totally different gods, all created out of our own different expectations. That is why we have backsliders in religion. That's why people believe in mysticism. And Abraham, who lived by faith, he wanted to see God's power in his life, but when God didn't appear and when the reality of life seemed to be heavier than God's presence in his life, when his thoughts and his expectations about God were not fulfilled, when there was doubt about God, and then the false expectations were created. It's in... chapter 17, verse 1, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless." Almighty God is called El Shaddai in the Hebrew language. God appears to Abraham and calls himself, "I am El Shaddai." The name of this is emphasizes God's infinite power to transcend all things and to fulfill his promises. The name El Shaddai entails in it a God who supplies everything and makes the whole world able to fulfill his will. Why does God introduce himself in this way? It's because Abraham misinterpreted his knowledge of God and had the wrong image of God in his mind. In chapter 15, God told Abraham not to be afraid. The reason why he told him not to be afraid was because Abraham was afraid. And so in chapter 17, God introduces himself as El Shaddai, making sure that he's correcting in Abraham his knowledge of him, introducing himself as who he is. And he says to him, "Go before me and be perfect. Obey me and live blamelessly." And so when we look at the modern translation, that's not a word-for-word translation. It's a translation of many theologians and scholars who have come together and really researched what God meant through his words. And I think it's really helpful in many ways. In the modern translation, it's, "I am God Almighty. You shall always live before me. Let me live with the knowledge that I'm always looking at you. Think of what is right and walk in the right path." That's what's in the modern translation. So the reason why he said, "I'm God Almighty," is because Abraham had forgotten this, and that he had been thinking the wrong misinterpretation or misunderstanding about God. He was telling Abraham... He was telling Abraham, "Live before me," because Abraham wasn't living before him. And he's saying, "Live as though knowing that I'm looking at you," because Abraham was living in a way where he would have forgotten that God was with him. And he was telling Abraham, "Think of what's right," because Abraham wasn't thinking what's right. And he was telling him, "Walk in the right path," because Abraham wasn't on the right path. And so in short, because Abraham is a human being, he had forgotten and he had misunderstood the things of God. We can see this in chapter 17, verse 17. It says, "I am the Almighty God." Chapter 17, verse 17. "Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, 'Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, 'If only Ishmael might live under your blessing.'" So this Abraham is completely different to the Abraham in chapter 15, verse 6, when he really did believe in the promises of God. But now, so, and you can see in chapter verse 17, Abraham is saying, how will a son be born to me and my wife? And he's saying, just bless Ishmael. What he had done is he'd misunderstood God and he'd forgotten what kind of God God was. He had done his best to obey God, and when things didn't work out the way he thought they would, he had a distorted view of God. And I think it's the same for you and me. It's like you and me, when we first met God, we were so filled with a burning passion for him and the promises that we were given. And then as time passes, they become a faint memory. We forget who God is. We forget the grace which called us and saved us. We've forgotten the assurance that the Almighty God gave to us, that he would always be with us, that he'll curse those who curse us and he'll bless those who bless us. We've forgotten God's amazing promises. And so God appears to Abraham in chapter 17. He's telling him, he's not telling him a new thing in chapter 17. He's already told him this. He's basically reminding Abraham of the promise. He's saying, don't forget. God never forgot the promise he gave Abraham. And basically he's saying to him here, don't forget your faith. Don't forget your promises. Don't forget my promises. And that's why God changed Abram's name to Abraham, because in it, it contained the promise that he would be a father to many descendants. But right now, the Abraham that we see is the Abraham of one son to Hagar and Ishmael. But imagine calling that Abraham at that time with only one son of father of many descendants. But God gave him that name so that he wouldn't forget. Because people, with the passing of time, they forget. And that is why he continually had Abraham be called Abraham, so that he would be reminded of the promise. And that is why God also gave the covenant, the circumcision covenant. This was the first covenant where God asks man to do something for him. This is the first request that God has. In the torch covenant, where God walked through the animals, in the first torch covenant, God was the one who acted. There was nothing that Abraham had to do that. And so as leaders, we must not forget that we have been given the same calling, that we are to pass on our faith to the next generation, to our descendants. And so God, it is our responsibility to remember God's promises. And so those who didn't keep the circumcision covenant were to be cut off from the community. It wasn't just to punish people for not obeying God, but if people forget the promise of God, they will go on the wrong path anyway. The sentence, when you read the Bible, it sounds like God will cut them off. But it is actually when people forget the word of God, they themselves cut themselves off and they go on the wrong path. So this circumcision was not for the benefit of God. It was for the benefit of people, so that they would remember the promises of God. They would not forget the relationship that they have with God. And so God left a trace on the body of man so that they would always remember the promises of God, that they would not leave the path of the promises of God. So the circumcision was not a way to save people. It was a way to help people remember. People memories take someone back to what the previous incident. They make us remember all these things. And so that's what circumcision did. It reminded people of the love of God and his mighty power and his ability to keep promises. So we too must also remember the promises of God. We also, when we meditate upon the word of God, and when we meditate upon God, we need to really go back. We need to remember the promise, what we had vividly, the promises vividly. We need to remember how we felt God's heart, how we felt his love. And so we need to be able to return to God. We need to return to a place of where we are moved by God, and we're moved in our hearts by God by reminding ourselves of what he's done. During your times of difficulty, when you want to give up, have you ever thought about the love of your parents and their efforts, their sweat and tears to get you where you are? Doesn't that strengthen you? And that's why he's given the circumcision to his people. So when we meditate on the word of God, don't just read it and skip through it and just look through what you're blessed with, but meet God's heart and go deep inside the word of God. That's truly meditating on the word of God. That is making memories with God. And so that will allow you to live with the strength of God in your lives. I bless you to do this. So this circumcision in chapter 17 is given to people who'd already met God. It's not a way of people being saved. It's not a method of salvation, but it's got nothing to do with salvation. But it's helping the weak who forget God's existence in their everyday lives to remember the true love of God, to remember not to leave the life of faith, not to leave the path of faith. So look at your lives. If you forget when God first called you and the heart that you had when he first called you, if you don't have memories of being moved and being moved by reading the word of God, then when you read the word of God, it won't be a blessing to you. It'll just be legalism. We say that we believe in God, but we don't want to read the word of God. And this is not having a true faith. If we hate the word of God, then we will fall into idol worship. You need to know where you're at in terms of your faith. Don't forget that making God into the God that we want him to be, this is something that that Abraham nearly fell into the trap of as well. But before Abraham fell into this trap, God appeared before Abraham and he let him know who he was, so that Abraham would not lose faith in God despite what he was facing in his life or his circumstances or what was going on. And so God reminded him of the importance of this relationship of faith that he had with Abraham. But if we don't obey and keep this message, and if we don't hold on to the faith in God's promises, then eventually the relationship with God is broken because we have let go. I want you to think back and think about where you're at in terms of your faith. And more specifically, in chapter 17, 14, chapter 17, verse 14, God says that the descendants of Abraham will be accomplished through Sarah, his wife. So Sarah, the name means mother of the nations. And so I want you to think about whether you're living as Abraham or whether you're living as Abraham. Oh, and so Sarah's name was also Sarah with an S-A. R-A-I to Sarah, S-A-R-A-H. And the S-A-R-A-H name, Sarah, it means mother of nations. And the name, and so I want you to think about what kind of name you're living, whether you're living as Abram or whether you're living as Abraham, whether you're living as Sarah or whether Sarah or Sarah. So in the life of Abraham, he lived to be 175 years of age. He heard or met God's voice about 10 times in his life, no more than 10 times. So true Christians don't always live by listening to God's voice. True Christians live by holding on to the promises of God in faith. It's God's promises as contained in the words of the Bible. God's true will, his heart, his love, his burning love for his people, they're all contained in the Bible. We can hear God's voice through the Bible every day. Don't forget this. Remember that Abraham had only met God no more than 10 times in his life. But despite this, in his 175 years, he held on to the promises of God. And I hope you can be faithful like him as well. So when we look at chapter 17, we know for sure that God is not like a genie in the magic lamp, in Aladdin's story. He's not someone who neglects us in our lives. He guides us, and he's with us at all times. This does not change, and he appears to us at the proper time. He is the Almighty God. God wants his people to believe in him. He wants his people to walk in the path of life in accordance with the word of God. And through Jesus Christ, he has opened up the path for us to him. So that is why we need to meditate on the word every day during the week. We need to gather every Sunday where the word of God is being preached. And then we need to meditate on the word of God every day. And then throughout the week, we need to gather to the cell where the word of God is being shared. So God came to Abraham and he spoke to him. And God is showing us what kind of life of faith we should lead as well. Whatever your circumstances, God is unchanging. He is the El Shaddai God. I pray that we live like Abraham in our lives, that we can be bold and courageous as we fulfill our mission in this world. Let us pray.